Welcome back. It's another episode of the Rapture Watch, and we have Dr. Cosmas Maduka, the president and CEO of the Costaris Group of Companies. But he's not here as a doctor, he's here as a brother.
That's right.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
You will observe in this citation, the attention is drawn to your secular life.
Yes.
Now, how will anyone with this type of profile to still be the kind of Christian some of us know you to be and still hope to be in the rapture? Because the impression generally created is there is no Christian that can be successful. I mean,
can be rich and be a true Christian,
because you have to do some compromises. Now, how do you mix this with your spiritual life? How do you balance this?
Thank you, my precious brother. Life is simple if people understand the way it works by following the principle of God's word. Mm-hmm. And it's about life and godliness. Quite a number of us has misconstrued the teachings of the Bible, and a lot of people tend to portray that your opportunity to go in the rapture or to be a Christian is enhanced based on as poor as you are. But that is not correct. If we go back to the Bible and look at the area men that follow God, starting from our father, Abraham. Abraham, in fact, every one of them are described as children or son of prosperity because God made that promise that he's going to take care of all his children. They lived a life that they never compromised in their devotion. It starts by having an intimacy by personal relationship, knowing God as your source. Father means a source. When you recognize that you cannot exist in isolation, you are going nowhere without that source. Acknowledge him for who he is obligated to his word. One of the things people seem to not know very well is that God is omnipotent until he speaks. When God spoke, his word became a law even to himself.
Wow.
God will never violate his word. That is the principle.
You know what? Why? I'll be chipping in. Sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ said that it is easier
for a camel to go through the eye of the needle
than for a rich man to enter into God's kingdom. Now, will I be right, sir, to say your wealth or your business success did not affect your Christian faith because you were first a Christian before you became successful in business? Will I be right?
You hit it on the nail. The reason is that people misunderstand the person I am because they think I was a rich man
before you became a Christian.
That is a Christian.
Okay.
I was a Christian that became rich.
Okay.
And there are completely two different things.
So now I am coming to my next question.
Both of them.
Now I'm coming to my next question. Why I invited you here was a chat we had with you.
Okay.
Somebody sent me a video and out some physical exercise. And I tried to do it, I didn't succeed. In that clip, everybody tried it. So I said, I know you do a lot of physical exercises. So I sent it to you. And this was your text to me. I'll just read it for the sake of this program.
Yeah.
You ask Brother Moses, did you finally try out the test to know if you were able to do it or not?
Yeah.
Then you now added, I can assure you that it is not impossible for you to do.
That's right.
Like every other thing in life, once you desire it and make up your mind, you are as good as you have done it.
Absolutely.
I am a great believer that all things are possible to anyone who believes. We Christians have been given invitation to come and experience personal life of Jesus Christ. It is something for us to learn because none of us was born with it. But we start by developing a personal relationship with God. Now, this is a statement you made. It is not about going to church or having a position, but about developing intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then you say, lots of people and my friends see me and admire my life, but do not know where the secret of it and success come from. So what is that secret and where is that success coming from? That's what we want to know.
Brother Moses, the secret is a level of intimacy that I've been able to develop with God. I was fortunate that I met the Lord Jesus Christ at a tender age of 14 plus. I was under 15 when I came in contact with the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that molded my life. At this age is where whatever you are going to be in life is determined between 14 and 25. So my brain was sharp. My memory was open. And this is the best thing that has ever happened to me in life. This experience captivated me that I became so focused and lived above my age. By 15, it was clear to me where I wanted to be in life. I wasn't gambling. I wasn't, beating about. By 15, I wrote things I want to do when I am 19, what I want to do by 23, what I want to do by 25. So, when you get a vision, Habakkuk 2:4 says, write the vision down. It's not something that remains in your head. Wow. Because when you actually don't have a vision until it's written down. When you wrote it down, you are committed to it.
You are age 14.
Yeah.
Your father was not a successful businessman.
Neither
was your mother.
That's right.
Where did you learn that from?
My mother inspired me to greatness. My mother spoke to me at a tender age of 4 after the death of my father, that I will go places and I will succeed in life. Actually, she discovered my youth entrepreneurship. And if I don't want to be big-headed, I will say it, entrepreneurship is in my DNA.
Thank you. Just like a prophet is born a prophet.
That's correct.
A businessman is born a businessman.
That's right.
Entrepreneurship especially. That gave you a focus business-wise, but the aspect of bringing God to it.
When I became a Christian, that's what I'm saying, that is really the foundation, because being a Christian, any day you made a commitment to live with the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible says you are a new creation. All things are new. Whatever you've learned before, you need to bring it under subjection to the word of God, because God is your father now, become your source. So when I became a Christian, I was taught the principle. I was taught the principle of becoming success, not the natural ambition I have. So back in Pentecost, I was taught giving and receiving. And they took me back from the Bible, from our father Abraham, and show me through the scripture how these things work.
Amen.
So I follow this principle. The statement I was making before is that God is not obligated to you or me. He's obligated to his word.
To his word, yes. Yes.
He doesn't know you to be Nigerian or a Japanese. If the Japanese follow the principle of this Bible, he will get the same result a Chinese will get. Exactly. If a Chinese followed it, he will get the same principle a Nigerian will get. Yeah. So it's not a question of where are you coming from. Mm. So it's not about being cosmos and madaka, but God being obligated to his word.
Amen.
When I follow those principles, the results are evident.
Hallelujah.
So the rest is history for what you have seen. The vision I have, I wrote them down. I knew God walked by desire, not by what we call your pedigree, who your father is, who your mother is. The scripture said, when you desire anything, believe that you have received it and you will do what? You will have it.
That's right.
So the first thing comes with desire.
That's right.
That is the egg you will produce. Then the germ of God will come upon that desire.
That's
to
right.
be able to produce
That's
life.
That's right.
The germ cannot come on nothing. The egg has to be there. So once the desire is there, and you put that ambition on the basis of the word of God, if God bless you, what are you going to do with it? If you want to show off and let the world know you have arrived and all of those things, or do you want to be a financier of the gospel? Let God know what your intention, why you want to be successful, be known. Do you promise God, I want your name to be glorified through my life? Because these are commitments you make to God. And if God did that, then you have to keep your own part of the Chinese ticket by making sure that all the commitments you made to God are exactly like that. We can go back to the principle of the word of God. You see Abraham, you see Joseph, you see Jacob. God, if you bless me, I will come and worship you on this mountain. If you do this, people made those
vows
and commitments.
Yes.
And God hold them for it. And God did what they are saying. And they kept their own part of it. So that is really the foundation of what happened. Life is about life and godliness. We take one side that we are Christians, but it's a shame that in Christian faith today, there are so much financial embarrassment that what we are proud of is an embarrassment to God.
Wow.
Absolutely correct.
Sir, if I got your formula for success correctly, ambition plus principles equals success.
Well, I can say vision, because there's a difference in between ambition and vision.
Ambition. Okay.
Because vision is inclusive.
Mm.
If you look at
ambition is the pursuit.
Pursuit.
Of vision.
Yeah.
The pursuit of vision.
Of vision. But the real thing that is vision, because if you look at Joseph,
yes, sir.
When he see the vision that he's going to be a prime minister in Egypt, it includes, I'm going to provide for my family. So when he testified about it and his brethren got angry over him, thinking he was over ambition, but they didn't know he has a vision.
Amen.
And went to report him to their father. With intention, the father is going to remind him to keep quiet. And after the father has spoken, I said, Joseph, what is this I'm hearing about you? He said, Dad, I saw the moon and the star.
The father and the mother.
The father said, are you out of your... Myself and your mother also will worship you. He told Joseph he's going to take his word back. And Joseph said, Dad, I saw myself sustaining this family.
Hallelujah.
So, did it happen?
It did.
God sent him ahead of them to sustain them.
Amen.
And he actually sustained them.
Mm.
And I tell people, never for the fear of controversy deny your experience. If God reveals something to you, the first prerequisite for success is willingness to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
If you want everybody to understand you and mark you good, you will never amount to anything in life. You must be willing. Joseph was misunderstood. Jesus was misunderstood. Why did the Jews want to kill him? Because he said, I and my father are one. And nobody has made that statement since life. If he keep on saying God is my father, he has no issue. But they think he was overambitious. Now, putting himself equal with God. And that could not go down well with them. So,
okay, sir. Chatting with you,
yeah.
it's very interesting because,
very
especially
sad.
For some of us that also are visionary.
Thank you.
We also want to attain our goals,
sure.
But we will limit it to the purpose of this program.
Okay.
Amen.
It's a rapture watch.
Yes,
and, what interested us caused us to beg you to come for our members and viewers and believers all around the world to hear what you have shared with me on,
sure.
on several occasions. We are close enough, and when we come together, we don't talk politics.
That's right.
We talk about the things
of
the kingdom.
Amen.
Now, what is it that a rich man like you, one, a man that has a very tight itinerary. Your schedule is very, very tight. Last year, I remember that by the middle of the year or so, in terms of hours, converting into days that you were in the air, moving, traveling, by June, you break it down, it was already 3 months.
That's right.
In hours.
Traveling time
alone will cover 3 months, 24 hours in a day, times 30, times 3.
Wow.
And I just looked, so it's ever busy. Yet, you are still in fellowship with God. How do you achieve that?
I took example from our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's our greatest teacher. Jesus' life, even though he was God, 90% of Jesus' life revolved around prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Prayers. If you read different passages of the scripture, he will go out early in the morning before the day breaks, spend 4 hours praying. Jesus actually have vigil alone, even when there is no vigil. I show you in the book of Luke,
yes.
where he went and prayed all night.
Yes.
It's in the scripture.
Yes.
So, because if you want to be successful in anything you do, look at those who have done it before and find what do they do.
Yes.
Where is their secret?
Amen.
So, simple. Prayer is the mystery that reveal everything about God. When I find this key, from the age of 15, I've been a prayer warrior. I've taken out time before I turn 15. It's a public speaking, but I need to tell you the truth because of this. Before I turn 15, I've learned how to fast for 3 days without water, dry fasting for three.
Before you turned 15.
Before I turned 15, 3 consecutive days, morning, night, afternoon, with no meal. Prayer,
wow.
If combined with fasting, there's no limit to what God can do.
Amen.
It was not an accident that I said, I want to marry before I turn 20. And indeed, I wedded my wife in September 23rd, 1978, and I was to turn 20 in December 24th that year.
Mm.
So I married on that 20 years.
Yeah, that
That's why I've been 42 years old man in that business. So if you really want to consider me, I'm a professor now. I can teach anybody who wants to know what it takes to be successful.
Amen.
It wasn't an accident. It was a prayer watered with my faith, desire that God granted. How did I even get married? No money. But I had a desire. I saw a young lady in a church, my age mate, that was committed to God, pretty in a middle-class family that big brothers who have all to do, we are trying to do. I love God. I love my faith. I raise my hand in the church. I say, Lord, I claim her in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a battle.
Wow.
And I won it.
Amen.
So God has proved to me that if you follow the principle that are laid down in the Bible, there's no limit to what God can do in your life. So people get surprised. How could I be this successful? I'm not in a cult. I don't fool around.
Yes.
I don't have girlfriend. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cook. So by what means could this be done? It is only possible by the power of the Almighty. Prayer and fasting is actually how to generate spiritual energy.
Mm-hmm.
You need that energy to be able to keep going. So, it may sound big-headed, but fasting is my second nature.
Hey.
Yeah,
that means you enjoy fasting.
I enjoy it, and that's my weapon.
What makes you enjoy it?
What makes me enjoy
it? How can somebody enjoy hunger?
What makes me enjoy it is because I found in the Bible, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I find in the Bible, Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I find in the Bible, Elijah fasted. So every man of God is a principle that are hidden that many of us overlook. But it's not enough fasting, because if you fast not based on the principle of the Word of God, you are just being religious, or you are just having a weight loss exercise. But you can only get the energy that they require when you are fasting. You have changed food to the Word of God. So if you can find time to have fellowship with God, pray and read the Bible, because fasting in itself means you left natural food, but you are eating spiritual food.
Okay.
And part of the truth, whether you like it or not, when you yes. are fasting, you are not hungry. The Bible says, after 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus was hungered yes. again. It's not hunger strife. I don't know whether it would be appropriate to tell you
challenge us.
It may be appropriate to tell you
challenge us. That's the reason you're on air now.
That as I'm speaking to you now, this is my 14th day. Today is my 14th day with no food passed through my mouth day and night. I drink water. Am I speaking like somebody who is hungry? Or somebody who is fasting.
14th day,
I go to work every day. I've been to about 6-5 meetings today. So, it's not... and I'm not a spirit, I'm a human being.
Are you sure, sir?
14 good day, no meal, no any type of meat, not biscuit, has passed my mouth.
I know...
But I'm on my journey, because... That is where I'm going. Which,
of course, you know, I came to expose you. Please bear with me, yes, because we are to provoke one another
unto godliness. Yeah,
you know, unto godliness, unto good works.
Good works.
And so you have challenged me a lot, because I know there was one time that you fasted for 1 year.
That's right.
And when you shared that testimony with me, I knocked myself on the head and I started, but I went only 7 months and I came back. I said, let me do like you. So I discovered that it's not about doing like you, but actually finding about how you are doing it and not just doing it like you.
Mm.
When you sent this to me, If you permit me, I will read
please,
this because you, it was meant for me to share, but you see, a preacher, you don't share certain things with a preacher when he knows it is already something that he can use in his messages. Now, you said here that we can't afford to start praying in the war front. We should have prayed through before the war broke through.
That's right.
It is something that is supposed to be private to me, you are saying, as we were admonished by our Lord. But I feel at liberty to share with you, me here. This
That's
was
right.
a personal note to me. As you might know, this is his testimony.
Sir.
You started when your stomach turned your life. Listen to his testimony.
Yes, sir.
I pray minimum of 2 hours every day.
Minimum.
That's right.
A minimum 6 hours on Wednesdays.
Wow.
From 12 to 6 p.m. I fast with praying, waiting on the Lord every Wednesday of the week, but take out time in every quarter sometimes to wait on him for 21 days, just drinking water alone without any meal during the morning, day or night, and 40 days once in a year. I do not say this in the public for it not to be a show, because it is supposed to be private and confidential.
That's right.
Now, is it because your body, because Apostle Paul spoke about physical exercise, so that can also be spiritual. Is it something because you practice it from youth?
That's right.
It has now become part of you. That it is something that a Christian can practice and it can become part of you.
Absolutely. Don't ever limit yourself. Bible made it clear that impossible does not exist. That's why Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. So how many things? All things. But like everything in life, practice makes perfect.
Okay.
I started very young. Not that I did it, I stopped, but I was also consistent. Even in your prayer life, everything in life, success or failure, is your consistency.
Consistency.
Wow.
If you continue to do the right thing on a very regular basis, the end part of it will be success.
Yes.
If you continue to do wrong thing on a very regular basis, the end of it is failure.
Yes.
Do a righteous man do wrong things at all, or do a bad person do good things at all, a failure? One good things you do or successful thing you do doesn't make you success. The same thing, one failure you have as a person that is meant to do right doesn't make you a failure. So, because that is part of life. But consistently, if you look at Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, Luke chapter 18 from verse 1, verse 8, to 1 to 8,
yes, sir.
That this widow woman come to this wicked king who never regarded anybody or anything, but keep on persisting him. This man said, even though I don't regard God or any man, let this woman not weary me. I will avenge her. In verse 8, Jesus Christ said, if wicked king can do this, how much more will your heavenly Father address you? In other words, if you also look Isaiah 62, we can check it. Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. He said, give him no rest.
That's right.
God requested we should not allow him to sleep. Read it.
Okay, Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7.
Yeah.
I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem.
That's right.
We shall never hold their peace day nor night.
Night.
Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a prison.
Till. Jesus told the apostles, go ye to Jerusalem.
Tarry.
Until. They could have stayed there after 3 days and say, manufacture something and jump out. He didn't give them time because God keep you under expectation atmosphere.
Okay.
1 year until, 2 years until, 10 days until. He never gave a limit of time. But when you are under that expectation, that is when God will do something. Amen. Because God wants you to be under expectation and He gives you that opportunity. So give Him no rest. If you knock, you say, God, are you tired? I am not tired. I'm happy knocking. I know you are coming. I will continue to knock until you didn't know when that until is, because there is appointed day.
And there's also a teaching that makes that look as if it's faithlessness. Why not just pray once and don't pray again, since you have already prayed? Why do you have to keep praying and praying and praying over the same thing?
Let's get back to our blueprint.
Yes.
Our roadmap.
Yes.
Amen.
Why did Jesus pray every day? In fact, some of the things people also say is that he's making a repetition, because we get these things concerned. If you go read it in that Luke, Bible said that, and Jesus came back and repeated the same thing.
Okay.
So if that is a repetition, because he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup. So he repeated it. So it's you, when you remind God of his promise, you are not making repetition. You are showing confidence. You are letting God know, I trust you regardless. Amen. If you don't come this night, I'm coming again tomorrow morning.
You are teaching
if you don't
something.
Come tomorrow morning, I'm
yes,
coming again tomorrow afternoon.
You are teaching
until.
So you people will not disturb me when I'm doing my prayer. But there's something, sir. There's a message we believe. And we take what William Branham says very seriously.
Absolutely.
And there are references to some quotes by the followers of this ministry that when Abraham said, you don't do a dry fasting for more than 3 days unless the matter involves life and death.
Sure.
But here you are. How many?
No, dry fasting, I did only 7 days, and frankly speaking, you will notice the reason why probably William Branham said that. Bible never recorded, and Jesus fast. Say Jesus fast.
Hungered.
Jesus hungered,
yes, sir.
But he didn't say he fast. That's Jesus true. Hungered. Mm-hmm. Now, in dry fasting, you don't water, you are hydrated.
Dehydrated.
Mm. What I did during that time, I noticed every 1 hour or two, I go to the bathroom to bath. Even though I was dry drinking water, even at the time, my tongue was so dry.
Seven days.
I can't even pray, you know. So, water is life. Water is life. Water is so important in your life. You should know, as God deal with you individually, if you intend to extend it, but it's advisable. And let me also say, during fasting, many times people think they are hungry. It is your body, not really that you are hungry, because there is an enzyme that comes to break food, that comes to your stomach.
Yes.
So the first 1-2 days, it will always come, because it's expecting food.
Yes.
It's something that is cultured. So the first 1 week of fasting, the first 3 days is the most critical day.
Mm.
You will almost think you will go on your knee. If you pass the seventh day, it becomes a little bit easier.
No, the third day.
The third day, uh-huh. Yes. It becomes a little bit easier. But that first 3 days, that's why many people really don't go beyond that. Because at that point, you think you are as good as a dead man. But what happened is that when that enzyme comes, what does it release? He releases
acid
to break the food that you have eaten. So when you drink, what do you take to dilute acid? Water. That's why when you are fasting, you should drink more water than a normal regular time. So as that water comes, when he releases that enzyme, it hits the water. So because you can easily develop stomach ulcer also if you do not understand this principle. Many people went into fasting and mismanaged it. Actually, some people have died breaking their fast.
Mm.
If you do a fasting for 21 days without eating food, you cannot jump and eat a bar. You are as good as a dead person.
Wow.
They will rush you to hospital. You start breaking that fast by taking things like grape juice, fruits, first of all, grape juice, grape, you know,
yes.
grape, apple, those fruits, and then you start taking like pap, you know, something or soup that is green soup.
Okay.
Nothing thick in the next 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
Not immediately, yeah. Because you need to begin to rebuild your body to come to the point where you take a meal. Because all these things create you damage. So you need to really understand what it requires. And if you do fasting for 21 days without any food, you never knew the taste of apple or grape until that. Because by that time, your system is completely clean. Completely clean. In fact, if you eat a baby food, it will be delicious in your mouth. So everything about you had been washed with that water. Actually, fasting is healthy. Fasting can cure cancer. There are an inherent benefits that people do not know, not only in the spiritual, but in the natural. I am 62 years old in December 24. By the grace of God, I live painless life. I have no pain in any part of my body. Anywhere. My neck is not paining me. My hand is not paining me. I don't have nothing. As I'm speaking to you, I'm not in any supplement of any type to support me. I have unprecedented energy. Okay? So, when your system is clean in that form, you are renewed. Look at my, I haven't lost my hair at 62. There are so many things that happen, but I started this thing when I was young, and it renews me in one way or the other. I'm sorry to say, I have gone to jog with my third son on the hill. He broke before I broke. Because he couldn't imagine where my energies are coming from. So it's something that even without spiritual application of it, the natural benefit is enormous.
Wow.
But the most important thing is the spiritual benefit of it, because that's where you are in tune with God. When William Branham said, when you are fasting, the body is weak, but the spirit has a chance.
Yes.
But the other thing that is in fasting is that if you are not spiritual and fast, it's the easiest way you can also contact an evil spirit. Because when you, your spirit is open.
Yes.
So you need to really be spiritual by filling in your space with the word of God. You need to be clear in your mind, you know, when to get up and pray. You stay in constant communion with God. God speaks back to you within this time. You have clear goals on how to handle certain things that has been a challenge to you in your life. By the time you finish it, look at Moses. He went to the mountain after 40 days. Bible says the people could not first steadfastly look at his face because of the glory of God that is in him. So you don't see it physically today, but the demons, please just understand, I am a wealthy man. Any lady is ready to open her leg for me,
sure.
Not for money, but to identify and say, this man is my friend.
Yes.
Not about giving them money. They don't need money, but just have it.
Yes.
How do I protect myself?
Okay, we will come to that. I attest to the difference between you and Olumide and
I'm
myself.
So challenged, sir.
Remember that Daniel, Timothy, myself, and you two, we were in Zambia.
That's right.
For a program last year. And we all ate a particular meal that day. And somehow we reacted. And we had,
food poisoning.
Our bodies reacted. And we're all going to the toilet every now and then. I was watching up because, you know, we would normally say, hey, this big man, hey, we brought him to Zambia. What will happen to him? He was kakaraka, nothing happened to him. He was laughing at us. Maybe that is one of the secrets. We will come back and we will know why it happened to us and didn't happen to him. And we will also know when to pray. When do we go into such prayers? Is it before the problem, while in the problem, or after the problem?
Wow.
Stay tuned. I will be right back. Shalom.